And welcome in right here on the radio, Dr. Ben Edwards with You're the Cure radio program. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. You can find it all right there at veritasmedical.com. Well, good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing good.
Good to see you back.
Yes, sir.
Got another great show lined up today.
Yes, we do. It's a super exciting show today. Dr. Tony Jimenez from Hope for Cancer will be joining us here in just a second. I first want to preface this by just reminding everyone, God designed us to be well, designed us to be healthy. And we've had a century of sickness prior to about 100 years ago. As I've mentioned many times, and I've had Dr. Chris Kenobi on talking about cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, and how that number one killer of Americans right now was non-existent really prior to 1912 when the first heart attack was reported in the American medical literature in 1912. There was one recorded in all the American literature. And looking back in the world's literature, there were only 8 heart attacks recorded in the entire century of the 1800s. So, and it's not just heart attacks and cardiovascular disease, it's across the board, cancer included, Alzheimer's, autism, you name it. Go down the list of diseases. It's been within the last century, give or take 110, 120 years, is when we've seen this huge rise in disease, in chronic disease. So obviously something modern is going on that causes this. And we've talked many times about epigenetics above the genes, things outside your genes. It's not the genes. I'm not saying the genes don't play some part, but they're secondary, probably even tertiary. There's things that impact your genes that turn them on, turn them off. And the things outside your genes have to do with your thinking. And we'll probably get into that today, unforgiveness and bitterness, but also environmental toxicity, lack of nutrition, basic stuff that sounds too simple. And I know this is hard to imagine, maybe not so hard now after the awakening so many people have had through COVID, but it is possible that maybe some bias is in play in the research institutions, in the medical schools, in the hospitals in America. You know, money talks, unfortunately. Even the researchers, doctors, and even presidents of universities and hospital systems have to pay their bills. They need a paycheck. And unfortunately, an orphan mentality, when we feel like we've got to scrounge for everything we make instead of a mentality of a son, a child of the king, whose daddy owns it all, and all we have to do is steward things appropriately. But when you're under the influence of that orphan spirit and fear of lack of provision, it causes you to make decisions. But I want to bring some reality to the show real quick and just remind people, doctors trained in the United States, which is me. I graduated from UT Houston, which included a lot of rotations I did at MD Anderson Cancer Hospital. Great facility, state of the art, great people there. I mean, friendly. A lot of them love the Lord. Some don't, but still they're friendly mostly. I mean, it was a great training ground for conventional medicine. Really sad to see all these patients from around the world and around the country coming to MD Anderson in Houston for their cancer treatments. But what I was not trained in there was the fact that cancer deaths have gone from really almost negligible, close to zero, or just a handful, 150 years ago, to almost 600,000 deaths a year in the United States. I didn't know about the history, the trends. I didn't know that cancer survival rates really haven't changed since like the 1950s when we declared this war on cancer. I didn't know that 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 2.5 women born after 1960 will have cancer in a lifetime. I didn't realize this huge prevalence and spike in incidence of cancer. I didn't have a historical context. I sure didn't learn about any of the complementary and alternative treatments that were used historically and used today. But then fast forward 10 years after I graduated from medical school and the divine intervention that God put me on this other road introduced me to Dr. Roby Mitchell, a.k.a. Dr. Fit, up in Amarillo, who has since passed away. But he introduced me to this whole world of root cause medicine. Get to the root of it and let the body fix itself. part of that being cancer, he recommended I go to a cancer conference. So I made this transition in 2012. It's been 10 years. And in 2013, I went to my first Cancer Control Society convention. It was a conference out in Southern California. And it just blew my mind, rocked my world. I came home and shell-shocked. I had to process that whole conference for many, many, many weeks afterwards, and just that cognitive dissonance. How could this be? But who I met there, I got introduced to Dr. Lorraine Day, who used to be the head of UC San Francisco's Department of Trauma Surgery. She had late-stage breast cancer and overcame that and is still alive today. This was, 20 or 30 years ago. She overcame that. Met her there. Charlotte Gerson. We've had Dr. Vickers on talking about the Gerson therapy, but met Charlotte Gerson, got introduced to Gerson therapy. But one of the most impactful presentations was Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who has also since passed. And I got to actually speak with him after his presentation. And he just had case after case after case of late stage, metastatic, stage 4 breast cancer, mets to the brain and the bone and the liver, colon cancer, stage 4 metastasized to everywhere. All these late stage, and they had gone through chemo and surgery and radiation typically, and by the time they ended up at Dr. Gonzalez's clinic, and they were still alive 10, 15, 20 years later. And in medical school, we learned this term called spontaneous remission. And that's probably what a traditional oncologist would say in response to all these late-stage remissions. Oh, that was just a spontaneous remission. But it turns out, as I dove deeper and looked a little deeper, the spontaneous remission seemed to correlate with these folks who go to complementary and alternative medical practitioners who integrate into the treatment plan a more holistic approach that actually includes nutrition, for instance. And I'm not saying nutrition is all of it, but it's a piece of it. And a traditional conventional oncologist, at least the patients that I talk to when they've come to see me after they've seen a conventional oncologist, is the cancer doctor told me it doesn't matter what I eat. That kind of mindset. Anyways, I'm just setting the stage here to help you understand that conventionally trained American doctors don't know anything except pharmaceutical-based chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. That's called standard of care. But the Texas Medical Board Rule 200 that I'm quite familiar with, it is legal and it's authorized. The medical board states a patient has the right and ability to ask for and receive CAM, C-A-M, stands for complementary and alternative medicine. So these complementary procedures to the standard of care. And since our standard of care outcomes are so poor when it comes to cancer, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, here in a minute, we, across the board, our standard of care protocols, regardless of the disease you're talking about, we get the worst outcomes. We die the youngest, and we have the most disease burden, spend the most money, go to the doctor the most to get the worst outcomes. I've gone down that road many times, so I'm getting on my soapbox. I'm going to bring in our guest, Dr. Tony Jimenez, which, let me just say, Ty Bollinger was also at that conference in 2013. Ty was a CPA. His whole family was devastated by cancer. His mom, his dad, his uncle, his brother, pretty much his whole family tree besides his immediate family, his wife and kids. And Ty was a CPA, graduated from Baylor a few years before I did. And I didn't know Ty at Baylor, but I met him at the conference. We connected. He had a book called Cancer, Think Outside the Box. And in that book, he just went through all these different complementary and alternative therapies that have shown to be efficacious in regards to cancer. And through that book and Ty and the relationship there is when I was first introduced to Dr. Tony Jimenez. And really, it was through Ty's documentary, The Truth About Cancer. And since then, I've sent many patients to Dr. Jimenez down in Mexico. Would love to be able to have enough freedom here in Texas to be able to offer these therapies here. We'll talk about that some too. So Dr. Jimenez and I have had a working relationship, and this past year even a little closer of a relationship due to really just some interactions I actually got to have with his wife during COVID, and then some more patients. And we're going to have a patient come on in 2 weeks. We'll have a patient with a testimonial from the Hope for Cancer Clinic down in Mexico. So Dr. Tony Jimenez, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Dr. Edwards. Thank you for having me. Wow, it seems like we've been living parallel lives, but I started many years before you, so that's supposed to tell you how old I am.
Well, we won't talk about age. That's just a number anyway. But please do as much as you want. I mean, I want to get into the main stuff you want to talk about and the message you want to give to the folks today. But a little bit of background of, you know, where you came from and how you got to where you are today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I think that to preface everything that I will talk about today, and such so many excellent points. Yeah. But I think one of the sentences that we should remember today is wisdom, the appropriate application of knowledge. And as you, Dr. Edwards, show us, you educate yourself in integrative psychology, integrative cancer therapy, we need to seek wisdom. And that's what happened to me early on in my career, when my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he lived in Houston, Texas, Dr. Edwards. And, you know, if you live there, he's also Smith Anderson. And he didn't tell me anything about his diagnosis. So after getting a hormone blocker, a Lupron injection, that made him feel terrible. And he says, I can't live like this. It's just one injection and I feel this bad. So he says, son, can you help me? And that's when I said, oh, what am I going to do? So my search started. My first Cancer Control Society convention was in 1990. That's the first time I attended. And so I took matters into my own hands. I became really enthralled and excited about the options that I could offer my dad. And I'm happy to say my dad, he was in his early 60s. And he lived to be almost 83 and passed away from heart disease, essentially. But his prostate cancer was cured. And yes, we could use that word. Why can't we not use the word cure when the Lord has promised us so much in his word, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're his faithfulness to us, that creative force that exists through the Holy Spirit, yes, we can be bold, and we can have total health in all aspects, spiritual, emotional, and physical. So that's a brief, you know, how I got into this. Then I've been working in integrative cancer therapy since 1988, and so it's been quite a journey. But I remember as a young boy, I was 10 years old, and my parents used to take me to the doctor every month because I said I was too skinny. You know, Colombians, I was born in Colombia, South America, and grew up in New Jersey. I went to undergrad in Dallas, Texas, the University of Dallas, actually, in Texas. And so they used to take me to the doctor every month, and the doctor gave me a B-complex injection and said, that's it, you know, see you in a month. But of course, it never enabled me to get weight. But the point is, one time I was really sick. I had a chest cold, and my primary doctor was a substitute doctor, and he gave me a prescription. I looked at the prescription, and there were five numbers, 8 years old. I couldn't understand, you know, what the medications were, but I saw five medications, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I asked him, Doc, what are these for? And he said, they are for what you have to take them. And he walked away down the hallway. I followed him and a second time, and I said, can you please tell me what these are for? And he said, I already told you. Take them and walk away. At this time, Dr. Edwards, I looked back at my mom and saw a trash can next to her. I walked to her. I ripped up the prescription, threw it in the trash, and told my mom, can you take me home and take care of me? Give me some chicken soup or something. And so I think it was that innate knowledge that I was born with that instilled in me and his plan for me to be in this field of integrative medicine. And so that's a little bit of, you know, some of the background.
Okay. So as you started to treat your dad, is that basically the catalyst that had you shift your entire focus for cancer, into cancer patients?
Exactly. Yes, and I was blessed that the Lord also put me into a hospital to do my internship after 4 years of med school that had an alternative medicine wing. And this is in Mexico. And I saw that patients in those rooms, in that wing, although they had cancer, they were smiling, they had quality of life, you know, many of them were recovering. Whereas the patients that didn't have cancer and were in the regular hospital wing, they were sad, they were one medication after another one, you know, one medication for diabetes and then something else for the side effects, and it never stops. So what's the difference, Dr. Edwards, on these two wings, and then my father comes in with diagnosis of prostate cancer that was the catalyst.
Okay. So as you were starting your career out there in these alternative cancer treatments, was it there in that hospital, or was it your own private clinic?
It was at that hospital, a very famous hospital in Tijuana, Mexico. I worked there for 9 years. Ended up moving up in the ranks, and I was not the director. I was administrative director and I was the executive team. But after 9 years, I realized that, you know, I had some ideas, but I couldn't implement it because there was a lot of red tape. So I thought, well, if I open my own center, I do what I want, and I ask permission. Imagine that. Even at an integrative hospital, alternative hospital, you know, there's red tape. So when I opened up Hope Cancer, I was free. And when the Lord would give me knowledge and wisdom and understanding, I was able to develop what I call the 7 key principles of cancer therapy.
And what year was that?
Well, the 7 key principles have been a progressive development as I learned what the key areas to treat cancer are. And by the way, as I speak about them, everyone that is listening to us can take this into account, because these 7 principles apply to all of us. You mentioned the statistics, and they say, the statisticians in the cancer world say by 2030, everyone in the U.S. will have cancer at some time in their lifetime. And 2030 is not that way. So these 7 key principles, I'll outline them briefly. Number 1 is non-toxic therapy. We all should be doing something non-toxically to ward off any cancer. We know that producing about 100 cancer cells a day, if we're faced with, as mentioned in the introduction, epigenetic factors, so, you know, the switch might be turned on and tumors can form. So non-toxic cancer, because of course, if a patient has cancer, we need to be focused and, provide non-toxic therapies that are maybe more intense or powerful or targeted. Second principle is detoxification. I always say that we live a life of detoxification and start from detoxing our emotions and our thoughts, more our thoughts. I've been quoted as saying, a negative thought can kill you faster than a bad germ. And that, imagine like before antibiotics. Antibiotics now have saved millions of people with infections, but a negative thought could be even worse than an infection. Number 3 is nutrition. And as you mentioned in the intro, also nutrition is key. The father of medicine, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Number 4 is oxidation. We well know that most of the cancer development, progression, and metastasis is a low oxygen process, aerobic metabolism. Number 5 is the microbiome. This is not only the microbiome or the healthy and unhealthy pathogens in our gut, but also in our mouth, for example. I know that we share that knowledge, doctor, that all of our patients should have a thorough oral and dental exploration. So looking at the oral dental microbiome, looking at the gut microbiome, the skin, mind, the brain, all this is very important. And number six is the immune system, immune modulation. I say that the immune system can protect us from a cold, to cancer, and everything in between. And especially what we've been facing in the last few years, the immune system has been under attack. And so we really need to get some immune modulatory or program. And then the seventh key principle, which should be number one, is the emotional and spiritual therapy. And again, as you mentioned, this is the key. When we see a patient that's not improving the way we want to, or we all may have expected, and we have that question, why not? This is where I fall back to the emotional and spiritual health. And oftentimes, in the conventional medical world, and even in the integrated cancer centers, they don't address this to the extent that it needs to be addressed. So if we remember those seven principles, and every time we wake up in the morning, we say to ourselves, well, after we say the prayer, say to ourselves, what can we do better today? Well, you know, my oxygenation yesterday wasn't as good. I didn't walk, didn't do any breathing exercises. I ate this food. So today, I'm going to step up in my oxygenation principle. And every day, what's best for you, step it up. Mm-hmm. This is key for all of us to not only treat cancer, but decrease the risk, because the risk exists and everything is much more.
Dr. Jimenez, we've got a little bit of a poor connection, so I think we're going to go to break real quick. We're going to work on the connection a little bit. And when we come back, I'm going to run through those seven that Dr. Jimenez just went through: toxicity, infection, nutrition, oxidation, microbiome, immune system modulation, emotional, spiritual. We've had a few people text in. So y'all out there in listening land, hopefully y'all heard enough of that. We'll come back from this break. We'll summarize real quick, and then we'll keep moving right along. Again, you're listening to Dr. Antonio Jimenez. Dr. Jimenez, what's the name of your book that's out?
It's Hope for Cancer, Seven Principles to Remove Fear and Empower the Healing Journey.
Awesome. And hopeforcancer.com is your website, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right, Hope and the number 4, cancer.com. And y'all check out Dr. Jimenez's book, Hope for Cancer and Those Seven Principles. We'll be right back after a break, and we'll work on this connection, guys. So stick with us. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
And welcome back to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. And without further ado, we're right back at it. Hopefully, got those phone problems fixed.
All right, guys, we're back with Dr. Tony Jimenez, Hope for Cancer. Check out his website, hopeforcancer.com, and that's the number 4, hopeforcancer.com. The very first patient that I recall, and this was probably 8 years ago, that we sent or recommended to go down to Hope for Cancer, it was a stage 3, I believe, colon cancer. What that means, folks, is this lady had colon cancer in her colon, but it already metastasized and spread. Might have been stage 4 because she had spots in her liver. And typically a surgeon's not going to cut out that colon mass when it's already spread to your liver, because what's the point? So you really just need to do chemo. And she was not going to do chemo. She actually convinced a surgeon to go ahead and cut that primary out of her colon. And he reluctantly did, thought it was kind of crazy, especially since she was refusing chemo. But it was a family friend, and so he went ahead and did the surgery. So this patient went to Hope for Cancer, came back, and had implemented the protocols, and we'll get into some of those. And her PET scan cleared up, completely cleared up, and has ever since. And that was 7 or 8 years ago. And normally speaking, that late stage of colon cancer is not reversible, according to conventional oncology, unless there's a spontaneous remission. So a conventional doctor would tell her she had a spontaneous remission. And as I said, these spontaneous remissions seem to congregate or have a high incidence of these spontaneous remissions at folks who go to integrative clinics around the world, not just Mexico. There's places in Germany and elsewhere. And real quick, just to review again, the seven steps Dr. Jimenez was talking about prior to the break: toxicity, infection, nutrition, oxidation, microbiome, immune system modulation, and then the emotional, spiritual, which you mentioned, Dr. Jimenez. That probably should be number one, actually. And maybe we should just start there. Since you said that, it should be number one. I say the same thing. We have four pillars of health. We call them nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. But really, it's peace, nutrition, hydration, movement. I mean, that peace should be number one. And I think the season that God's moving us into, that we're walking in right now, at least in our clinic, He's really pressing us into emphasizing more of that spiritual piece. And in fact, the patient that's going to come on in a couple weeks and give his testimony told me that just last week, unforgiveness was a big part of his healing. So maybe let's start there with you. How did you come to that conclusion on the emotional, spiritual part of things?
Well, what a big topic, Dr. Edwards, but I'd like to start off with peace that you mentioned, and that's one thing that the blood of Christ has given us, is that peace.
Amen.
And once we have that peace, many good things happen. Secondly, is that when you mention the patient on colon cancer, mets to the liver, we have to just all remember that cancer is a process. It's not a thing that you just cut out and that's it. This is why in this patient, even though she had the surgery, there were still cells that are left behind, because they always are, and they can present themselves in a distant organ. In her case, the liver. We know that the liver is one of the main targets of metastasis for any cancer, whether it starts in the colon, in the pancreas, in the lung, or elsewhere. So in colon cancer, to answer your question with respect to the emotional and spiritual, one of the primary conflicts that we have to address with anyone with colon cancer, whether it's Mary, Susan, Peter, whoever it is, colon cancer is related to biologically and emotionally, what in life could you not get rid of, or what did you get rid of that you wish you would have maintained? Was it a career? Was it a spouse? Was it a dream? Right? And so, depending on what part of the colon, if it's the ascending colon, which is on the right side of the body going up, then we have the transverse across the center, and the descending colon down on the left. And then we get into the sigmoid colon, the rectum, and the anus. So depending where the colon cancer was, we could even be more specific with regards to the contents of that conflict. But suffice it to say for this discussion that colon cancer has to do with what you cannot let go of, or what you let go of that you wish you would have held on to. So that's an area where the tumor develops. If it's, for example, breast cancer, the left side of the body is the female side, the right side is the male side. So anyone that develops right breast cancer as a male conflict, that could have been with the spouse, with a child, with a boss at work, or any male figure in their lives. So it's very important when we look at these seven key principles, and we're working with the patient to apply the right principle of truth to the right person at the right time. And this is very important and what's lacking in conventional medicine, because it's all about the tumor or the metastasis, and they forget about the person. So it's important to realize that we're treating the person with the cancer, not the cancer in the person. I'll repeat that, because this is a very important concept, is to treat the person with the cancer, not the cancer in the person. So the emotional and spiritual is foundational to health and healing. And once we have the knowledge, we have all the facts about, you know, the PET scan, CAT scan, the blood test, the biopsy, all that, then we get to an understanding of those facts. And the arrangement, how do we arrange those facts? And then that's where wisdom comes in, Dr. Edwards, is where we apply the treatment to the best of our ability from the worldly perspective. But what if we take that wisdom of God and He guides us on how we apply these treatments and the treatment plan more specifically for the patient. And that brings that creative force that's in us. And if the patient, when the patient is in that same situation as we are in guiding them, because as you know, as physicians, we're teachers, we're instruments of the Lord for healing. So the emotional spiritual is key concept in healing and also in prevention. So any of the listeners out there, start this work now. Don't wait to be diagnosed with cancer or any other chronic disease. What are your challenges spiritually and emotionally? And let's start working on them.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And, you know, I'm just putting my, trying to think about a conventional oncologist here in the States. I mean, they maybe would receive what you just said, but for the most part, they're completely oblivious to this connection because they weren't trained in it. They weren't taught this. And as I used to think, if MD Anderson didn't teach it to me, then it couldn't be true. What an arrogant thought process there. But that's how I used to think. Their focus is solely on tumor, 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 tumor. How do we cut it out, zap it out, irradiate it out, poison it out? And just this laser-like focus on the tumor. And what are the end results of that? Like I said earlier in the show, we really haven't budged in cancer cure rates since we started this war on cancer decades ago. So we need to consider that maybe we do need an alternative to standard of care, since standard of care is getting such poor outcomes. Dr. Jimenez, how did you come to this conclusion? Is this just a general understanding in the alternative complementary oncology world, like your clinic in Mexico where you started in that hospital, or is this something you observed over time, or the Holy Spirit just led you there?
It was a combination of all of those. I believe that the Holy Spirit principally had a plan for me in my life. I received a prophecy that the listeners, when you get my book, Hope for Cancer, Seven Principles to Remove Fear and Empower Your Healing Journey. If you don't read anything but the preface, in the preface I tell my story. It's very important, and it happened in a small church in Pasadena, Texas, where a minister prophesies over me. So I believe that I know that I know that I know that this was God's plan for me. God has a plan for all of us, and this was the plan, and I'm doing exactly what the Lord wants me to do and has guided me to do. So it's a combination of all those. My dad being in a hospital to do my internship when they had a wing on alternative integrative oncology, and then the doors that have opened in my life. I've been to over 70 countries. I've trained in China. I've trained in Europe and South America and Asia. I've been everywhere. And so I've been blessed to partake in many of the same things that you have. The Cancer Control Society, Ty Bollinger, and the Truth About Cancer is a great friend of mine. I've lectured and I've spoken at his event. And so before we got online, Dr. Edwards, you talked about education and hope. And I want to emphasize that part of our conversation because I believe that part of what we're doing is bringing forth new knowledge, new wisdom, and education. And then when we combine that with hope, great things happen. And if we call it spontaneous remission, or we call it whatever we call it, what happens is the outcome. And what's important is the end result. And this is important. I was speaking at a big conference in Western Samoa. There's about 500 people there. They came from Australia, from New Zealand, from all over that area. And all the ministers were there. The minister, the prime minister, the president, the prime minister, the minister of health, the minister of education, the minister of finances, they were all there. And I saw this gentleman in the back all during my lecture. He had his arms crossed and very, you know, not agreeing with what I was saying. And at the end, when we opened it up for a question and answer, he was the first one to stand up. And he says, where are your placebo double-blind crossover studies? You know, and I said, I just showed you our statistics. I just showed our patient outcome. Ultimately, that's what it's about, isn't it, about the patient outcome. We cannot use our patients as guinea pigs and give them placebo, right, give them a sugar pill. And so then he said, the second question he said is, how did you manage to get all these ministers of our government, including the prime minister, in one room? That has never happened. There's always someone missing. And I just stood away from the podium, and I pointed up to the sky, to heaven, and I said, God ordained, and this is a divine appointment. And this room was silent. And so once we have the knowledge, we have God in our heart using his creative force, and we have the experience that we have of over 30 years in treating cancer patients, great things happen.
Amen. The dragon is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the witnesses. That testimony, conventional medicine calls it anecdotal reports, and in medical school we're trained and taught, oh, don't listen to anecdotal reports, you can't trust those. But the book of truth tells us we're going to overcome the dragon with these anecdotals, with these testimonies, which again is why we're going to bring on a pancreatic cancer testimony in 2 weeks here locally, and everybody's going to recognize this name. So I want to commend you, Dr. Jimenez, for, I know what it's like to go up against these quote-unquote wise, smart guys of the world, man's wisdom, who want this scientific, rigorous, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials, prove it, which I think through COVID everyone can see that, well, a lot of these research studies and journals are biased based off who's funding them. I would recommend anyone who's out there maybe listening, conventionally minded, or especially if you're a doctor, get Nick Gonzalez's book, What Went Wrong. And he details very clearly how he tried to publish a great study on his protocol, and all the things that were thrown in his path to try to thwart that from happening. That's kind of a side story. I don't want to get distracted by that. But Dr. Jimenez, let's turn a little bit, and I'm so glad we talked about the spiritual emotional piece. And I will say, Dr. Lorraine Day told me also, she did, I think she said like 40 different all natural protocols, and I think it was mostly in Mexico because she lived in California. And she wasn't belittling these protocols that focused on nutrition and supplements and different IVs and things like that. But she said, ultimately, that didn't work until she dealt with unforgiveness. That was the linchpin of the whole thing. And then, boom, everything worked together in synergy when she had that emotional, spiritual piece of the puzzle come into play. It was key. She says life-saving key of it. So I don't want to minimize that at all, obviously. But in the physical, give the listeners an idea of what it looks like to come to your clinic. What are some of the highlight therapies that you use, and why do you use them?
Well, the reason forgiveness is so important, isn't it, is because we're forgiven by the blood of Christ that he shed for us, right? So that's foundational. That's like a given. There's no, when we look at the wisdom of man, that's when, you know, things not good happen, not good things happen, right? But when we look at the wisdom of God, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. With respect to Lorraine Day, she had an interesting quote. She once said, I didn't get the breast cancer because of lack of chemotherapy. So how is the chemotherapy going to cure me? Mm-hmm. So to that end, a lot of the therapies we use are energetic therapies. Isn't that interesting? We use energy to diagnose, like PET scans, MRIs, CAT scans, ultrasound, EKG. All these are energy-based diagnostic tools. But when we use energy to treat, then we're considered quacks. And how is that? So one of the main treatments that we use at Hope for Cancer is a non-toxic cancer therapy, is sonal photodynamic therapy, where we're using sound and light to affect cancer cells. And there's hundreds of publications. Everything that I will say is based on science and evidence as well, if we want to go in that direction. But sound and light can affect and do affect cancer cells. Is it an interesting how that is related to the Bible? I didn't know that when I developed these treatments at Hope for Cancer back in the year 2000 when we first opened our first center in Tijuana. Now we have a second center in Cancun, Mexico. But sonal photodynamic therapy is using sound and light to affect cancer cells. The second therapy with respect to energy is hyperthermia. using heat. We know that cancer cells are heat sensitive, whereas normal human cells are heat resistant. This is why if you've gotten a virus in your life or an infection, the first thing usually that happens is the fever, because the fever is there to kill bugs, not to kill your healthy normal cells, nor to healthy cells are heat resistant. But the pathogens, the viruses, the cancer cells are heat sensitive. So we provide full body hypothermia, where we heat up the body to 101.4 degrees Fahrenheit, or 39.5 degrees Celsius. And we also apply local hypothermia to, let's say, the breast where the tumor is, or the lymph nodes, or the liver. So both local and systemic hypothermia is very important. So here's an example of two very powerful treatments that work synergistically that are based on energy, are totally non-toxic, and very effective. And so then those are two of the main non-toxic cancer therapies. Of course, there's many others. IV vitamin C, which has been proven also to kill cancer stem cells, which are those cells that leave the primary tumor and ultimately give rise to metastasis. And those are the bad guys. Those are the guys that are not killed by chemo or radiation. Are the cancer stem cells that eventually become circulating tumor cells and migrate from the primary cancer to the distant site, whether it's the liver, the bones, the brain, or the lungs, right, to give rise to metastasis. We use a lot of botanicals. God created so many herbs that are very useful. Resveratrol, St. John's wort, artesanate, EGCG, green tea extract, many different herbal substances that we can give intravenously that have tremendous effects on the immune system, on cancer cells, as antioxidants. Some of them are killing parasites and viruses that are always implicated in the disease process. So a lot going on in this non-toxic cancer therapy principle, Dr. Edwards.
That's outstanding. Give the listeners an idea of roughly time frame, and I know every case is unique, but do folks come down and implement these therapies for a week or two, a month or two, a year? How long is a typical course of treatment?
Yes, and this is a good question because we've tried many different scenarios, and for the last number of years, 3 weeks is the ideal treatment time at our centers, either in Tijuana or in Cancun. In 3 weeks, we're able to change the patient's mindset, a mind of faith and not a mind of and heart of fear. We need to change that because, remember, when they come to us, 70% of our patients are stage four. 70% that were given up on, basically. They received everything that they can with respect to chemo, radiation, immunotherapy, surgery, and we're basically told there's not much more we could do, or those patients that were diagnosed, and at the time of diagnosis, there wasn't a viable option. 70% of our patients are in this category. So we have to change that paradigm of living, not dying. We had a patient once that was writing a book, Death Before Dying, and that patient was a Hare Krishna. He didn't recover completely. He lived 3 years longer from a stage four melanoma, but ultimately his mindset was on dying, not living, and not no forgiveness or being cleansed by the blood of Christ, none of that. So 3 weeks is ideal, and after the 3 weeks, the patients return home with a robust home program that carries them for the next 3 months. And we have a home program support staff that is calling the patient periodically once they are at home. Mr. Smith, how are you doing? Do you have any questions? Please have another blood test in 2 weeks or another scan. And so after the 3 months at home, they come back for a three-day follow-up where we give them a complete evaluation and we tweak any of the ongoing home program. And so one thing that I say with patients is, once you're part of the Hope for Cancer family, you're family. And we'll be with you along the ride. And as you said, we have patients 5, 10, 15 years or more that are still in touch with us. One of them is our good friend Christy. She's in Texas in the Crystal Beach area. And she had triple negative breast cancer 10 years ago. And you know about that diagnosis, Dr. Edwards. It's one of the most aggressive types of cancers. And Christy is with us. She's with the Lord. And she's had her challenges, you know, throughout these 10 years. But she's good. She's good.
What, rough, I don't want to put you totally on the spot here, so you can say pass if you want. But just in general, 70% of your patients come. They're stage 4. They failed therapy or they're not a candidate for therapy. Basically, you know, 100% of that, of those patients, if they just stayed where they were at in their regular conventional setting here in the States or wherever they're coming from, would be dead in short order. Do you have a rough idea of what percentage of those 70% that come to you that are basically have a death sentence, have some long-term life to them, a year or two, 3 years or more?
Yeah, one of the things that we've done in recent years is we put together an R&D team, a research and development team, and it's headed by a double PhD who's my brother. He's been with us for over 15 years. His name is Dr. Shibuja Chakravarti, you know, the smart Indians with a lot of PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
And Shibuja heads up the R&D team. So we did a retrospective study on survival data. And we did it for, I believe, 7 types of cancers. And, for example, in lung cancer, and we compared it to the National Cancer Institute, the SEER data, which is the cream of the crop. It's not exactly a direct comparison because in the SEER data, they don't take patients in stage 4. So that being said, we did the best we could to do some kind of comparison, but the 5-year survival for metastatic, so 70% of cancer patients that you're talking about, Dr. Edwards, these are lung cancer. The 5-year survival for metastatic stage 4 lung cancer at Hope for Cancer was 35.2%. At the SEER data, it's 5.5%.
Wow.
That's 7 times greater. If we look at metastatic breast cancer, the Hope for Cancer data is 49.5% 5-year survival, and the NCI data is 28.1%. So that's nearly double. And, you know, we looked at colorectal. Colorectal was 36.9% 5-year survival. Remember, these are patients that are in that 70% that we're giving up on.
Mm-hmm.
36.9% have 5-year survival data. And in the NCI, National Cancer Institute data, was 15.7%. And you're going to interview in 2 weeks, as you said, our mutual patient, Rick. For pancreatic cancer, the NCI data for 5 years is 3.5% at most. At Hope for Cancer, is 31.6% 5-year survival. And remember, we get patients once they've failed everything.
Mm-hmm.
They have patients at the beginning from the diagnosis. So it's not really comparing apples to oranges, you know, apples to apples. And it makes the results even that more spectacular.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's stunning, especially the mindset portion being so important. And these patients have been given a death sentence. They've gone through horrible treatment protocols, devastated their immune system, devastated their gut, their microbiome, but most importantly, their emotional standpoint, their mindset. I mean, they're coming to you basically hopeless, and to turn that thing around and get those results is absolutely incredible. You know, why is every cancer center in America not implementing these type of non-toxic protocols first? If you're getting a 30, 40, 50% better on stage 4, imagine if you had access to these patients from day 1 before they got devastated emotionally and physically. I mean, I would venture to say those numbers would be up in the 80 and 90% range. And that kind of leads me to the question of, and maybe this is a road you don't want to go down, but I'll ask it anyways. What's up with that? Why won't MD Anderson and Sloan Kettering and Stanford and Mayo and all these places, why won't they? Or possibly are there any that do listen or reach out or talk to you, or any clinics in America, oncologists in America that you have found are opening their mind, being more curious, willing to work with you, integrate some of these things? Any comments on that?
Yeah, a couple of interesting points. Number one is that I haven't found one, and maybe there is, but I haven't found one that addresses these seven key principles, and for sure not the emotional and spiritual. What did we learn about that in med school and our training? Nothing, right?
Zero.
Nothing about the emotional and spiritual, not even on nutrition. I think I had 1 hour class of nutrition in my training in med school, right? It was don't give salt to the hypersensitive patient, be careful with the sugar and the diabetes, and give a lot of fiber to those that are constipated. You know, that was the extent of our nutrition class. So
yeah, well, I had double. I had 2 hours, so there you go. But go ahead.
Well, you're younger. It's getting a little better. So that's one key point. The second thing is that the system, I don't believe it's the doctors themselves, right? We all come into medicine with the same mindset of helping, you know, we want to be servers and serve people and patients, but it's a system. The system doesn't allow doctors to do what doctors should do, and this is why we are in Mexico. Like, one question is, why are you in Mexico? You know, I'm a U.S. citizen. I did my undergraduate here in the U.S. and so forth. I have a brother that's a malpractice attorney in Florida, you know, and my parents worked hard in the U.S. After they immigrated here from Colombia. But why are we in Mexico? It's because Mexico still gives the doctors the freedom to do what's best for the patient. And they know that's our vow. That's what we all swore to, right, when we received our medical degree, is to do what's best for the patient. And so that's the Hippocratic Oath. And first, do no harm. And so, but in the U.S., and not only in the U.S., in all the world, in conventional medicine, it's about the tumor, it's about the cancer, it's about the symptoms. It's not about the foundational. Because remember that, you know, curing something is not good for the economics, right, of medicine. And so it's all about management, managing the diabetes. How many patients have you had, Dr. Edwards, you know, with diverse pathologies that are cured now, that are free from that disease? But
thousands.
But in conventional medicine, it's about managing. It's not about freeing the person from those challenges in life. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of politics, unfortunately. It's the system that the doctors, as you say, they have to pay their bills, and the system doesn't allow them to. So we're just blessed that the Lord has placed us in Mexico, where we still can do what's best for the patient.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you touched on that, and I can confirm that. I mean, I know some of the top administrators at our local hospitals here. I mean, I could go have a meeting with them. I could request a meeting with the head of tech medicine, the Health Science Center, and I could lay some of this stuff out, and I can almost guarantee you, because these are good men. You know, they'd off the record probably say something like, you know, that's exciting, Ben, especially when they hear this testimony in a couple of weeks. Or if I laid out those numbers that Dr. Jimenez just shared, off the record, they would say, man, that's awesome. And then, but I guarantee you their answer is going to be, there's no way. I mean, this system, it's a system, and the money that's involved, you know, because in this perfect world, I'd say, all right, Texas Tech, here locally, let's be the leaders. Let's bring in this integrative treatment. And the system is so big, and so much red tape, and so many laws, and so much, but ultimately the money. Where are these systems funded from? And it's just this entire system that's got a mindset that started off wrong when the Flexner Report in 1910 or whenever that was, Carnegie and Rockefeller got together and said, we're going the pharmaceutical route. And I mean, this is a big beast of a machine, of a system. So unfortunately for now, or fortunately, Mexico is a great place to go, great place to visit. But I do feel for the patients that just can't travel for whatever reason. And so, Lord willing and praying, someday we can open up a Hope for Cancer right here in the great state of Texas.
Amen. Amen. It reminds me, Dr. Edwards, of Psalm 119, verse 33 that says, teach me, Lord, the meaning of your statutes, and I will always keep them. Help me understand your instruction, and I will obey it and follow it with all my heart. It's what we're doing. We're doing what you and I are doing and others that are really looking out for the best that that our patients can receive, always being guided by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I'll just end with Psalms 139:16. I just had this pulled up. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So what that says to me is it's all about stewardship. Let's not fear the tumor, fear death, fear dying. It's about living, and it's about living as a representative of Jesus, and which is love. And your days are set here. And before one of them was given, you know, it says in Psalms 139 that I just read, those days were given before one was had. So, Dr. Jimenez, thank you for all you're doing. And for those out in the audience, be encouraged. You know, dig deep. What's God trying to do? He put you here for a purpose. Before you're in your mama's womb, he knew you, set you apart, put a call on your life, and he gave you gifts to support the call. The enemy wants to get you off target from that calling, and he wants to lie to you and give you a false identity and have you replay in your mind these different thoughts and emotions that are from him and not from the truth. So dig deep in there. Ask, and you'll receive. Seek. Ask God to show you, to reveal himself to you, to reveal truth, to reveal lies where you've bought a lie, and then turn back and go the other way to the truth, and you will change things at the quantum level, cellular, subatomic, subcellular level, these energetic frequencies, some of these energy we talked about today for diagnostics, but also for treatment. But that energy is impacted by your thinking, and this is work you can do yourself. And as Dr. Jimenez said, that emotional spiritual step 7, it's really step 1. And not to ignore the toxicity, infection, nutrition, oxidation, the microbiome, and the immune system modulation. We got to steward all of it. We're in a physical body. We're spirit housed in the body with the soul. We got to work on all of it. But man, the power that's in our thinking. And when we get rid of the bitterness and the rejection and the unforgiveness, it opens up some major opportunities for healing. Dr. Jimenez, thank you for all you're doing. I know you've impacted thousands, probably millions of lives. You've impacted my life greatly and my patients' lives. Thank you for all you're doing. I know it's not easy to be out there in this quote-unquote alternative world, but the good book tells us we'll be persecuted, and narrow is the path. So I guess that's a good thing.
That's right. Thank you so much, Dr. Edwards, for having me, and I'd just like to leave everyone with one last concept, which we mentioned, but I want to emphasize it, is start walking in wisdom, and that wisdom of God, not wisdom of the world, and just see how your life will change. So thank you for this opportunity, and blessings to you all.
Amen. Blessings to you. Thank you, Dr. Jimenez. And everybody, you can go check out the website, hopeforcancer.com. That's the number 4. And also a book by the same title. You'll check that out. And hopefully someday we can get Dr. Jimenez here to Lubbock, and we can meet face-to-face and all fellowship together. So y'all come back next week. We'll have another great show. And again, a testimonial from Rick in a couple of weeks on pancreatic cancer. Be sure to come back for that for sure. All our shows are archived on our webpage, veritasmedical.com, also on iTunes under You're the Cure on Apple iTunes. Thank you, Wade, for having us today.
All right. Thanks again. Once again, you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Again, check out that website, veritasmedical.com, for archived programs and other important information to help you regain control of your health. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD.